Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, Gail Sheehy, author of Passages and a pioneer in the literary journalism movement, talks about her life and times and her psychological profiles of world leaders. Gail Sheehy today. Also today, surprising findings about grocery store prices in Manhattan, which chain should really be nicknamed Whole Paycheck, and a new documentary looks at the time a major league pitcher tossed a no-hitter while tripping on LSD. We'll talk to the director. But first, it's the second day of school for New York City public school kids, and that means day two of the city's expanded universal pre-K program, part of Mayor de Blasio's vision of universal pre-K for every kid as a way to fight inequality. We'll hear from the deputy mayor in charge of the rollout in a few minutes, but let's check in first with you. Your reports from the field. Parents, how did it go yesterday? 212-433 WNYC, what did you and your four-year-old find when you went to pre-K for the first time? Did it surprise you? 212-433-9692, or even day two reports if you just came back from drop-off. 212-433-9692, or if your four-year-old is not one of the 51,000 kids to enroll in the program this year, what happened? Or was your child supposed to be in one of the locations that got declared unsafe and the start has been delayed or even canceled? Tell us your story. 212-433-9692. And with us for this is WNYC education reporter Robin Shulman. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Brian.
So you went to a pre-K site yesterday. Where was it? What'd you see?
I was in the Morrisania section of the Bronx at a new pre-K center, and it was kind of typical of how quickly things have been happening. Just a few days before school started, the program was signing its contract. The brand new teachers were in the classroom for the first time just a few days before school. They were moving furniture and setting up the classrooms and putting things on the bulletin boards. And then yesterday, they were greeting kids.
Was this in a public school or one of those private organizations that got a contract for this?
This was a private organization that just got a contract.
Any impression of how day one went?
Everybody was really excited. The parents were excited to be there. The kids were a little terrified. The teachers were, you know, also a little bit nervous. It was their first day teaching. But I got reports at the end of the day that it went great. The kids had a good time. Everything went smoothly.
Who are the teachers? Because one of the issues is whether people are certified pre-K teachers or not. I think there are two different pay scales. Whether this is going to be just babysitting or actual education, or whether it even should be actual education of four-year-olds. So did teachers tell you how they're going to approach this thing?
They want to make it very clear that this is neither babysitting nor is it formalized academic education where kids are going to be sitting at desks and caught tracing letters and you know, being formally taught how to read and do that. What they really want to do is teach through play. That's the goal. And a lot of teachers I've talked to have really seemed to absorb that philosophy and really are excited and engaging, thinking up new ways to work with the kids to really engage them through play.
So listeners, your day one, day two report about your child's preschool experience, 212-433-9692, if they are in a New York City universal pre-K program. And the numbers are really good, if I'm reading them right, in terms of participation. 51,000 pre-K seats filled out of a goal of 53,000. I guess that's the age cohort in the city.
The ultimate goal is going to be 73,000. So they're really looking at this as a 2-year rollout.
Okay.
So this is year one. They added more than doubled the number of seats from last year's full day program. So they've got, which was only 20,000 kids in school. So the numbers are really extraordinary, and they've done it in a very short period of time.
We asked our listeners on Facebook to give their reports, too. And I want to ask you about one of the stories we got. Christy posted, quote, "My son started today at a community-based organization, which he also attended last year, for nursery school." I guess that would have been before it was part of the city's program now. I know the value of a quality pre-K program, she writes, but think it's totally unfair that some people are getting free full-day programs and some of us like me can only get half a day free and must pay the difference for a full-day program. Full-day should be free for all now. In my district, 20, not one new full-day class was open this year. Really? I thought the whole point was full-day universal pre-K.
That's interesting. I didn't know that there were some districts with no full-day pre-K this year, no new programs. But it's true that there are still half-day programs, and those half-days are very short. They're less than 3 hours. So, you know, last year there were many more half-day programs, and part of the expansion has been to make those half-day programs full-day programs. I think that the mayor would say it hasn't all happened yet. By next year, there will be enough spots for all kids who want to be enrolled in full-day programs.
So some parents are actually paying their locations for half a day of paid pre-K?
That could easily happen in a private location where they're charging tuition and have in the past. If they only have a contract for a half-day program, that child will have to pay for the rest of the day if the kid wants to be in school for the full day.
Let's take a call from a parent. Brock in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Brock.
Well, hi. How are you?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks so much. Well, you know, we're in District 1, PS63, and pre-K doesn't begin till Monday for 1 hour, Tuesday for 2 hours, Wednesday for three, and the first full day is Thursday. And that full day, of course, is up till 2:50.
Why are they rolling it out like that? What'd they tell you?
I haven't a clue, other than the whole of District 1 is doing this. It means we can't do it. We've been trying to find somebody to help us out for those days. We can't, so we're out and with the grandparents in Long Island. It's really, so it's kind of useless. But the other part is...
And are you going to start your child once they get to the full day in about a week?
Mm-hmm.
You are?
Thursday.
Yeah. And you will enroll your child at that time?
He is enrolled.
Right.
We would be there now if we could handle it. But it's very, very difficult. As it is, my wife took the day off for today.
Uh-huh. Well, it's a short-term problem, but they didn't explain it at all?
Well, the other part is the full day is, you know, always ending at 2:50 there. And the programs to pick it up after that are all very pricey, $1,700 for a semester. And, okay, they got scholarships and this and that, but we're not going to get it.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult. So all day is a very difficult word, in fact.
Yes, and that's a high bar. All day, you know, school generally ends around 3 o'clock, Robin, right? And, of course, one of the mayor's other goals is to have universal after school. Now, he's focusing that on the middle school years because there are so many problems in the middle school years that seem pegged to that 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock time. But sure, in an ideal world, you'd have public school lasting until the end of the business day. So the parents could leave their jobs at 5 o'clock if they're 9-to-5ers and go pick up their kids. But that doesn't exist in many places. So joining us now is Deputy Mayor Richard Bury, who is in charge of the rollout here as Deputy Mayor for Strategic Policy Initiatives, working on UPK, obviously. Deputy Mayor Bury, welcome back to WNYC. Hi there.
Good morning, Brian.
And also still with us is our education reporter, Robin Shulman. Anything you want to say to that last caller? Were you listening?
I'm sorry. I did not hear the last caller.
He was talking about in his District 1 school that they're rolling out an hour a day starting Monday until they get up to full-day pre-K by next Thursday. And they're having some, you know, going-to-work problems with the parents if it's going to be 1 hour Monday, 2 hours Tuesday, 3 hours Wednesday. Is that happening at a lot of schools?
It's pretty traditional in preschools and actually in many kindergartens that because children are entering school for the first time, you'll often have staggered up till full day.
Oh, it's a
separation. In order to give children a chance to, yeah. And so that's pretty common in early childhood program and even in many kindergartens. I remember when my children went to pre-kindergarten, We definitely started just a few hours a day, and they actually asked parents to stay in the cafe nearby in case their children had any separation issues.
All right. Who has more separation issues, the children or the parents?
Well, if it's me, it's definitely the parents. You know, it's really yesterday was really a wonderful day for thousands of kids around New York City. But we're really happy that we had such a smooth rollout on the first day of this large initiative. As you heard, over 51,000 children at full-day pre-kindergarten, over 150% increase over last year. And we're just really excited and thankful for the hard work of so many, not only in city government, but teachers at public schools, leaders at community-based early childhood centers and their instructors, and, of course, parents who've been so willing and flexible working with us to find great educational opportunities for their children. So we're really happy with how the day went. And now our job is to keep that momentum going and to make sure that children are really having a rewarding, enriching educational experience over the course of the year.
You've talked on the show before about how the city has to get this program right, because other cities will be looking to what happens here. And the real goal of the national movement is to have universal pre-K nationwide as a means of fighting inequality. So what is the city doing to make sure the program is high quality and not just, as some people are concerned that it might be, babysitting?
Yeah, you know, our goal is to make sure that these programs are both safe and of the highest quality. It started with the selection process. We had a very, very rigorous process to choose which providers could be part of our program. It involved site visits, written applications, interviews, even before the program started. And, you know, we only accepted 60% of the program applicants. On an ongoing basis, there's a tremendous amount of work that we do to make sure that programs are implementing at high quality. So that goes from everything from supporting providers in teacher hiring to providing extensive professional development to a really comprehensive system of support that goes everything from instructional coaches who go out and work with providers to make sure that programs are high quality, but also inspectors from the health department, buildings department, and other parts of city government who also make sure that programs are operating at the highest degree of safety. We're also investing $2 million in evaluating the system, and part of that evaluation is to help us engage in continuous quality improvement so that even as early as this year, we can begin to make adjustments as we learn what could be better, what could be stronger. And so our commitment is to provide high-quality pre-kindergarten aligned with the pre-kindergarten foundations for the Common Core to get kids ready for school.
Our education reporter, Robin Shulman, has a question for you, Robin.
So you've said that you're hiring an outside agency to go to 200 randomly selected programs and assess the quality. How will that work? When will that start? And what will they be looking for when they go to the programs?
So I'll be starting school soon. We're actually in the final phases of finalizing that. And it's a really comprehensive review. So we're looking at observations, reviews of student work, interviews with staff and parents. So the real idea is to have a rich, thorough understanding of what's happening so that we can use that information to improve the quality throughout the system.
What sort of markers will you be looking for to assess quality?
Well, you know, one of the things that we do here in New York City is that we have a comprehensive system of evaluating the quality of our providers. And it's really built around giving teachers and program leaders effective tools to do a better job. So we use nationally used observational tools. We're looking at authentic examples of student work. We're interviewing teachers. And again, it's to really create a feedback loop. The goal of this, as you know, the core of the quality of pre-kindergarten is the experience between that pre-kindergarten teacher and the children in his or her classroom. And so this is all about giving teachers the tools and the feedback to be better early childhood professionals. And so we use a variety of tools to help make sure that teachers are constantly improving their practice and have real feedback in real time about how they and the children in their class are doing.
Can I ask you about the underlying goal of fighting inequality? Obviously, you're not going to see inequality in the city in terms of, you know, grown-up incomes go down on the first day of school. But the Wall Street Journal quoted the director of the National Institute for Early Education Research, who said it took New Jersey about 5 years in its universal pre-K to achieve constituencies for their preschool programs in poor cities. So today is day two. Are you looking at the rollout kind of neighborhood by neighborhood in terms of the poorer neighborhoods in the city where maybe this is most needed?
So if I understand the question, you know, we're really committed to increasing equal opportunity for children. And we know that early childhood is one of the bedrock things we can do as a city to promote those values. Research has shown that the main contributors to the achievement gap between the well-off and the not well-off are the differing investments that those with resources can make in their children's educational experiences. Deep investments in early childhood, deep investments in after-school and experiential learning, summer programs that wealthier children are able to go to help overcome summer learning loss. These are the investments that make a difference. And though these things have been at the center, therefore, of Mayor de Blasio's investments, trying to narrow those gaps by investing in the thing that we know works so well for children. So we know that if we invest in quality and as parents experience the transformational difference that having an entire additional year of school makes in their children's lives when they get ready for kindergarten, we know that once parents experience the difference that high-quality pre-kindergarten makes, we know that they'll never go back to a city again that is not willing to make those investments.
I think Robin has one more question for you before you go. Robin?
Deputy Mayor Bury, I'd like to ask about special education. I understand that having kids in school at age 3 or 4 really presents an opportunity to do earlier intervention when there are learning disabilities or other issues. But how are you going to train pre-K teachers, some of them in private organizations, many of whom are new or inexperienced with kids of this age, who are dealing with kids who don't speak English, who come from very different backgrounds, who haven't been in a classroom before or who have? How are you going to train these people to be so expert in child development that they can really identify warning signs for these issues and refer the kids to testing?
That's a great question, Robin, and you're right to point out that one of the many advantages of investing in an early childhood education system is that it gives us an early opportunity to identify young people who may experience learning disabilities. And then those give us an opportunity to screen those children to understand what additional supports they might need. And the earlier we can identify those challenges, the earlier we can begin working with children to put them on the path to a great education. And so the goal is not that every teacher in the system is an expert in special education. The goal is to begin to train teachers to understand how they identify which children might need additional screening. And so that's a lot of what our training is designed to do. As you've reported, we've invested lots of resources in training. This summer, we trained 4,000 teachers, early childhood teachers in New York City, pre-kindergarten teachers, and professional development will remain a central part of that work. And part of that training is going to be about helping teachers to identify children who, again, it's not for the teacher to make that decision, but to identify children who may need additional intervention and doing the screening early so that we can provide those supports to kids.
All right. Day one done. Day two underway of Universal Pre-K in New York City. Deputy Mayor Richard Bury, Deputy Mayor for Strategic Policy Initiatives in charge of the rollout. It would be so great if this works. So good luck.
Thank you so much. And again, we just want to thank all the thousands of people around New York City who made this happen, but especially the parents who've trusted us with their precious children. We won't let you down.
And WNYC education reporter Robin Shulman, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a surprising new finding about grocery store prices in Manhattan. Which chain really deserves the nickname Whole Paycheck? Stay with us.